Hi, in this next session, we're going to be speaking about leading intercession in a group. And I'm going to give you a few pointers in terms of how to do this when you are the one that needs to lead the group in intercession. First of all, I would like for you to discern or decide upon the main prayer points and agree upon them with the group. In other words, say, listen, these are the 5 points I feel that God has laid on my heart that we must pray about this. And say, this is what I feel. Is there anybody else that has got something else that God has laid on your heart that we need to pray about, that we need to focus on? Or maybe there's something we don't know, maybe some urgent thing that needs attention as well in praying. And then at the same time, after you have decided on these main prayer points, leave some room for the Holy Spirit to add things at the end. Sometimes it will be that as you start praying, the Holy Spirit will lead you and he will add more things, because you must understand that prayer and intercession and spiritual warfare is an interactive thing. In other words, as you are praying, change is happening in the spiritual realm. Sometimes even for preachers, we don't always understand this. I prepare something and I feel I must say point A, B, and C. And then while I'm preaching, God changes and he says to me, add E and F or drop D. And it's not because I didn't hear God correctly. It's because while I'm preaching, people are changing their minds as they're sitting here. They're making decisions, right decisions or wrong decisions. And so the Holy Spirit will direct me as a preacher in accordance with what is happening in the hearts and minds of people and the choices and decisions they make. In the same way, as we are praying and interceding, just because the Holy Spirit now directs you in a different way to what you agreed upon beforehand doesn't mean it's wrong, beginning or now. It just means that the interaction and the changes that has taken place has led the Holy Spirit to redirect you in terms of your prayers. And then secondly, I would also like us to agree with one another. In other words, say amen. Yes. Because scripture tells us that when we agree together, or when two or more agree in the name of Jesus, there the Lord is with us, but that he will also give to us the things that we ask in his name when we agree. There is so much power in agreement. Another scripture says, two is better than one, and a threefolded cord is not easily broken. Another scripture says, one will put 1,000 to flight and two will put 10,000 to flight. Agree with one another. Don't just pray and then everybody ignores the person who's praying, but add your voice to that in Jesus' name. Then stick to one theme at a time until that specific unction lifts. In other words, if we are praying for a specific town, for example, then don't go off and pray for your grandmother. There's a time and a place to pray for everyone, and you can pray for your grandmother at any given time. Or don't pray for point C when we're still busy with point A, and then jump to point B and then point D, and so you jump between the different prayer points. No, take point A and pray through until that unction is lifted from the group. And you will see that sometimes people are praying in the Spirit and they're sort of allowed praying in the Spirit, and prophecies are coming and words of knowledge is coming, and there's sort of an intensity in the prayer, and then it grows quiet, and then people add more prayers, more prophetic words comes, and then all of a sudden it's like the burden is lifted completely for that specific point. And then you realize, okay, now it's time to move up onto the next point. So learn to discern when a theme has been fulfilled in prayer. In other words, when that unction has lifted. Next, we need to listen to prophetic words and pray according to it. In other words, when somebody gives a prophetic word, don't just let it go into the wind, but actually act upon it in prayer. So if the prophetic word calls us to repent on behalf of a nation or to repent ourselves, then repent right there and then. Act upon it. Whatever action may be relevant, do it and pray things into being. Pray those prophetic words into being or act upon it. Then also, we need to pray scripture. That means that we quote it in prayer. We say, Lord, your word says this and this and this, and therefore we ask this and this. Or when you address demonic powers or strongholds or demons in the air and you want to break those chains, then you quote scripture and you say, the word of the Lord says, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit says the Lord. And so you say, Lord, we pray that by your spirit, you will break these chains. Or another scripture that says, the anointing breaks the yoke. And you can pray, Lord, we pray for an anointing that breaks the yoke according to that scripture. Quote those scriptures and speak it into being. Claim the promises that is in there and pray it through according to the word. The word of God is powerful. And the Bible tells us that the word of the Lord himself does not return void. So when we pray according to scripture, firstly, we know that we're not going to go wrong because scripture is perfect. And when we pray that perfect scripture into being, we're speaking life and we're using the power of God's very own word in our prayers. Because prayer is not simply just requesting God things from God, but prayer is also speaking things into being. Prayer is also challenging the spirits and the powers around us and to break their powers and to break their curses. And therefore, the word of God is mighty and powerful to use. Then I would also like us to help the group to stay focused. Sometimes it happens that one or two people would sort of go off on a tangent, and maybe it's somebody that's new in the group, maybe it's somebody that doesn't really know too much about intercession or spiritual warfare, or it's a new believer. And then you just say to the guys, okay guys, let's just come back to the main focus, stop the prayer, don't be afraid to stop the prayer and to get everything refocused. Take authority and be bold about it. And gentle at the same time, not making that person feel like they can't pray, because many times people are afraid that they feel, I don't know how to pray. And then when they do take the boldness and then somebody is rebuking them publicly, sometimes they might want to take a step back. So gently, yet firmly, steer the group and get it back on focus. Praise and worship is also an integral part of effective corporate prayer. And I want us to be open for spontaneous songs. Peter Wagner writes in one of his books, and he says, it's one of his books on spiritual warfare, he says, praise is the key to breaking down the forces of darkness. And I've seen this many times in my life, and we've seen this even in scripture with Jehoshaphat's army, as the Lord commanded them to put the singers and the musicians in the front of the army, and they must praise God. And as they were praising God, they were actually calling the seed of heaven, the powers of God Almighty, down into heaven by declaring that He is Lord, that He rules, that He reigns. And that declaration in itself was warfare and powerful. It helps us to take our own minds off our fears of the demons in front of us, and by declaring His Lordship, we are actually declaring His power into the very situation that we are praying for. As we are praying, sometimes it would happen that God would spontaneously lead someone to start singing a song. Sometimes you might even do a dance. Whatever it may be, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But don't be scared to break out in song. It might be warfare songs, it might be praise songs, it could even be worship, as we just grow quiet before the Lord, as we listen to Him. There's, in every gathering that we have, there's sort of almost many seasons, times of warfare, times of praise, and times of quietness and rest before the Lord. Learn to discern how the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding, and how the group is moving together as a whole. Be open for prophetic actions as the Holy Spirit would lead you. And when I say this, I want us to also seek confirmation and act according to Scripture. The Bible tells us that every prophecy must be tested in 1 Corinthians 14. And so, especially when it comes to prophetic actions, test it. Don't do silly things unnecessarily. Don't try to be over-spiritual. But discern, is this thing scripturally sound, this action that we're now going to take? Can we see some examples of that? Not everything that the Holy Spirit will tell you to do would be necessarily found in Scripture. You might not find that thing, but as long as it does not contradict Scripture, as long as there is confirmation and agreement in the group, and it does not contradict Scripture, then go as the Holy Spirit leads you. I'd like to give an example of what happened on a mission team in 1995, as we were praying for that area which was plagued by witchcraft and very powerful witch doctors. They would call down fire from the skies and it would fall into the street, even in broad daylight. They would curse people and they would turn blind people. There was nothing wrong with them. And so the whole area was plagued by these mighty witch doctors. And so while we were praying the evening before our first crusade outreach evening, we were in our room, which is about a kilometer away from the crusade grounds. The Lord said to us, take out a map, and we took oil and drew a line around that area, that vicinity with oil. And so in that prophetic action, we were saying, we are anointing this place. We couldn't walk around it. We couldn't go and literally physically surround that whole area. It would take too long for us to do that, which is why we did it on a map. We all laid our hands on that area. We said, Lord, we commit this area into your hands. We declare that the powers of darkness in this area shall be broken in Jesus' name. Every curse spoken against us, we break down in Jesus' name. Every power of the evil one over the people in this area, trying to block them and blind them and deafen them for the gospel, we break those chains, we break those powers, we break those curses, we break every power of Satan over this specific area, and we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that the people in this area will receive the word of the Lord unhindered in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. And so we continued praying in that. Just before we walked down, somebody had a word and said, when you go down, march together two by two and form a line and sing this song. Open the gates for the King of Kings. Prepare the way of the Lord. And we continued to sing that as we were literally marching left, right, singing that song, moving down to the crusade grounds. And everybody was sort of staring at us and thinking, who are these crazy people doing these things? Now, let's not get crazy too much, but if I may continue the story, as we came to the crusade grounds, we walked around the crusade grounds, we anointed it with oil, and we prayed and we said, Lord, we pray that you will draw a bloodline around this. Now, that's not a physical bloodline. It's prophetic action where we're saying, Lord, we know that there's power in your blood, and so we ask that you will draw a bloodline around this area, meaning that you would protect this area and consecrate this area. And we actually pray this. We say, we declare that this ground is holy ground. Whatever claim Satan and his powers might have on that ground, we break it now in Jesus' name. And we said that in this place, people will get saved unhindered by the powers of darkness. And so, two of the scriptures which we quoted was, the first one was in Zechariah 2 verse 5. It says, and I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord. And I will be the glory in her midst. That's the first scripture we prayed into being. And the second one was 2 Samuel 22 verse 31. It says, this God, his way is perfect. The way of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. We pray that God would literally form a shield around that area, that he would form a wall of fire also around that area, and that no power of darkness will be able to enter that ground and will have no effect upon people who are standing inside. And the most amazing thing happened. There were about three or four witch doctors who came there, and they were swearing and cursing and trying to get people away from the crusade grounds. And then people nevertheless started to enter the crusade grounds, and the witch doctors tried to come in. But I don't know if you've ever run into a glass door, you know, those sliding doors, but it looked as if they were running and literally bouncing off those walls. We couldn't see the angels, but we knew that God has placed a wall of angels around that area, and those witch doctors could physically not cross the line that we had drawn in prayer. The Bible is more real than what you think. And we think that the wall of fire and God as a shield around us is just fiction and it's just imaginary talk. It's not. Let us take scripture in its context, yes, and pray it into being. God is our shield. He is the wall of fire around us. Maybe the Lord will lead you differently in different ways, but follow the prompting of His Spirit. Let's look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. He said to him, fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. Psalm 115, verse 11. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. I've heard the testimony quite a while ago, many years ago, of a missions team, a Bible distribution team that went into an area called Soweto. And it was in the times of the great Soweto uproar, and there were lots of fighting and demonstrations. And they drove with police escort into this area to go and distribute the Bibles. And they found themselves in the middle of a march with people armed with weapons and spears and pangas and all sorts of weapons. And they just carried on driving through this and praying that the Lord would shield them. When they arrived at the destination, the police in the vehicle in front and in the back came to them and said, who is this God that you're serving? Because we want to know this God. Because our vehicles have been crushed. Our windows are smashed and people have thrown stones and spears into our vehicles and through our vehicles. But we saw that whenever they threw the spears and the stones at your vehicle, it was like there was an invisible shield 1 meter away from your vehicle. And it just bounced off and there was not one weapon thrown against your vehicle that actually was able to touch it. We can clearly see that your God is alive and that He's real. Again, believers, I say to you, the Word of God is more real than you might think. Also follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I would like to give an example. I once led a team that was going to Tanzania. We were driving through quite a number of countries on our way there. And one of our vehicles broke down in every country, literally. And it was amazing to see how God provided for us and sort of helped us to solve the problem in different ways. In Zimbabwe, for example, we stopped next to the road, and instead of looking at the vehicle and trying to find the problem, I felt the Holy Spirit saying to me, just come into my presence. And so I told the praise and worship guys, take out your three guitars, let's pray, praise and worship the Lord. And they looked at me like I'm crazy because we were already traveling for 3 days, nonstop, day and night. And after about the 10th minute singing, they started to suddenly get it. Listen, this is praising God, and this is a kind of warfare that we are doing here by just praising God and exalting Him over our circumstances. And while we were still busy, the Lord caused a policeman to take a trucker off the road right there where we are. He gave us directions to somebody who had a telephone close by in the middle of the bush. In the middle of the night, and that lady phoned a guy who was what I would call a bush mechanic, and 1 o'clock at night he came out and helped us, and by 3 o'clock that same day, that same morning, we were actually on our way again. In the very next country, the vehicle broke down again, but this time the Lord said to us, lay your hands in the vehicle and command it to start driving, and we did. And as we laid hands on it, we commanded it to start, it did, and it obeyed us in that sense. God gave us different instructions in different places. Now, that sort of concludes for us leading the group. I want to move on to what I would call encountering forces of darkness. And I want to give you a few rules or tips in this. Number one, never ever be afraid. I would say rather develop what I would call a holy anger. Now remember, the Bible tells us that we have not received a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Now, I remember a time when I was at hostel in Stellenbosch, and in my section where I stayed, there was one guy who was very sweet, very nice, but he started to go into Dungeons and Dragons and into evil things, and then he started to play these demonic music that sort of played it very loud and was just the sounds of demons on tape coming down the passage, down the hall to where we were staying. And he had this incense burning there. And one day I just had enough of this. And I went into my room, closed it, locked it. The windows was closed. And I took authority over that young man. I called him by the name. And I spoke to his demonic spirits. And I addressed him. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you. I break your powers. And whatever influence you have over this section and over this hostel, I break it now. And in the name of Jesus, I render you powerless. I take full authority over this area in the mighty name of Jesus. Now be gone in Jesus' name. And as I finished and said amen, my towel was hanging behind the door. And it was like a wind blew through the door and caused the towel to go like a curtain in the wind. Yet the door was closed, the windows was closed, and there was no wind. Immediately I realized this was a demon that actually came through the door and tried to intimidate me. Now, my reaction was like this. I was not afraid. I got extremely angry. And I said to those demons, how dare you come into my room, you evil spirits, you who've been trampled under the foot of Jesus Christ, how dare you enter my room? Now get out in Jesus' name. And I'm saying it quite a lot softer now in front of this camera than what I did that day. I was quite furious. And I chased that demon out of that place. And 2 minutes later, I had a knock on the door, tok, 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 tok. And here this gentleman, that very same one, came to the door and said, hello, meek as a lamb. How are you? I'd like to just come say hi. And he came in, I gave him a cup of coffee and I started ministering to him. Something happened in the spirit that day. I want to tell you again, don't be afraid. Never be afraid. We can see David's reaction when all of Israel was scared of Goliath. They were standing there trembling, and he said, how can you be afraid when this son of the devil, so to speak, is challenging the armies of the Most High God? Don't you know that we have God Almighty on our side? Another example, I was casting out demons together with some friends out of a girl, and I was holding her down because the demons were resisting, and one demon manifested. His name was the demon of terror, and he was growling at me, and he's saying, what are you going to do if I bite your hand? And he could easily do that because my hand was just here. And I said to him, shut up, I'm asking the questions. And he left, just like that. Fear is the opposite of faith. Do not allow yourself to become afraid. Now, next, we need to be vigilant. Sometimes there will be demons that come into our sphere and into our rooms and places where we are. Be vigilant, be watchful. When you see a demon, chase them away in the name of Jesus. And remember that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Listen to 1 John 4 verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Also remember, the battle belongs to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 15 says, and he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. I remember casting out demons out of that same girl who had the demon of terror in her, that at one stage we were struggling and the demons were resisting some of them. And I just quoted this scripture and I said, stop, 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 stop. And my friends and even the demons were looking at me and saying, like, what now? And I said, the battle belongs to the Lord. Right there, she fell down and another 20 demons or so went out of her by simply just quoting this scripture that God is with us and the battle belongs to him. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, then he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. It's not my might. My authority does not lie in the strength of my voice or how loud I shout, but by my conviction that God is with me, that his power is upon me, that his spirit is in me, and that I am a bearer of his name. I'm an ambassador of the Most High God. I want to ask you to speak to the Lord when you are confused. Maybe sometimes it happens that things happen and we don't know how to explain this. What is happening around us? Ask the Lord for discernment. He promises us that he will give us discernment if we ask for it. And I remember one time when my wife and I were still in Franschhoek pastoring the church then. We woke up one night and Christelle woke me up and she said, Anton, there's a spider against the roof and it's big. And I said, I looked and I saw nothing. And I said, no, man, go back to sleep. And I slept. And a little while later, she woke me up again. But this time I could see she was actually speaking in her sleep. And I looked up and I saw a spider about this big, a big black spider, clearly visible, all the legs visible. And I saw it hovering right above me on the ceiling. And I immediately knew that this was a demonic spirit sent to us. And I asked the Lord, what is this? And he said to me, this is a spirit of witchcraft. And there are teenagers in town doing sacrifices right now, focusing it against you. So I spoke to that spider and I said, in the name of Jesus, you spirit of witchcraft, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I break your power and every curse spoken over us, I break it now in Jesus' name. Now be gone. And as I started speaking, that spider was rushing around that ceiling like something on a hot plate. And eventually it left and the power was broken. The very next evening, something similar happened. Christelle woke me up again and I saw, and this time we were both awake looking at a smaller spider. Again, I rebuked it and chased it away in the name of Jesus. These things might sound strange to you. Some people wake up and they are being choked. Many different things can happen. When you see something that you don't understand, ask the Lord for that discernment. Also, I would like to say to you, take charge of your family and your property. It has happened with us when we moved to Stellenbosch here that accidents started to happen in the house. Two children got really hurt. They were cut open in different places. And our youngest child was acting wildly crazy and sort of uncontrollable. And what I did is I went home 10 o'clock in the morning when there was nobody. And I anointed the house, went all around the house, the yard and the house itself, the doors, anointed it. And I said, I am the head of this home. In the mighty name of Jesus, I now take charge of this property. And I declare that this is holy ground belonging to the saints and my family here in the name of Jesus Christ. And every demonic power and curse be broken now in Jesus' name. And every evil spirit that has resided here, I now command you in the name of Jesus, be gone from this place. I'm shortening my prayer now. But basically, I took authority over that place. And from that moment onwards, when our boy came home that afternoon, he was peaceful and his normal self. And we, up until this day, we've not had any accidents in that house again. Men, take charge. Head of the homes, take charge of that, of your family and the property and everything that you have in the name of Jesus. Sometimes it happens that strange things happen in our sleep. And we can actually even start to war even while we're sleeping. It is encountered to me many times that I would wake up and then people around me, maybe I was in a camp, and the guy said, man, you were casting out a demon out of somebody in your sleep. And we were so afraid because of the authority with which he spoke. And then we would discover later that that person actually did go through something at the same time. I was on the receiving end of that once when an old lady in a church in Potchefstroom was praying for me in the middle of the night. And I saw her in my sleep appearing to me as if in a dream. And she was addressing specific things in my life. And I could feel the power of God operating in me. And I could feel myself being delivered as she was praying and addressing these things. And then I woke up and I spoke to her the next day. I said, listen, did you pray for me last night? She said, yes. I said, what did you pray for? And she listed those three things by name. And I asked, at what time did you pray? And she gave the exact time. As you think about spiritual warfare, I want to ask you the question, what is the ultimate warfare? What is it all about? And I want to say to you that unless we win souls for Jesus, unless people turn to Christ, we have won nothing. We have gained nothing. We can pray and do spiritual warfare and bind demons and loose them. And the scripture tells us whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We can bind, we can loose, we can break the chains, we can refute and break curses, and we can do all of those things. But unless people actually turn to Christ, we have gained nothing. Let me give you this example. An army might have an air force and a navy and some ground troops. Intercession and spiritual warfare is like the navy and the air force. Shooting bombs from the sea, dropping bombs from the sky, and hopefully on target as we pray effectively, specifically, and not just randomly into the air. But you can throw millions and millions of bombs on a country and destroy it in a sense. But unless your ground troops does not physically go on the ground, possess the land, plant the flag, and take charge of the capital city and runs all of the systems of that country, you have not occupied the country. Therefore, you have not won the battle. And what is this battle all about? It's actually all of our warfare, prayer and intercession, all of it centers around the fact that people must turn to Christ and people must repent. So therefore, we cannot see spiritual warfare apart from evangelism. The ultimate warfare remains and will always remain evangelism. It must always lead to evangelism, which is why we started this session on praying for the lost. Let that be your ultimate focus in everything you do. Let the lost be saved. Prayer and action, faith and works. Peter Wagner writes in one of his books about a team that went into a specific town that was on the border of two countries, and they split up into three teams. One just prayed and asked the Holy Spirit to show them, and then they wrote down everything the Holy Spirit showed them. The second team went all throughout that little town and they physically mapped everything onto an actual map. And the third team went into the library and they did research over the past 100 years, and then they sort of drew up a map based on their research. And then, but the three teams were not allowed to speak to each other. And when, after a week's time, they came together, all three of the maps overlapped. And where, for example, the blood sacrifices used to take place 100 years before, now was the exact same place of where the abortion clinic is. And the area where the witches and the witch doctors came to go into trances before they did these blood sacrifices was right next to it. And that same spot today is where the drug houses are today. And the area where the main chief witch was staying, that house, is still the same house today where the current witch doctor was staying 100 years later. They discovered that there was a powerful correlation between these three things: what was discovered in intercession, what they mapped in physically, and what the research showed. And so when we speak about spiritual mapping, we're talking about a combination of these three things and to determine what is happening in your local area. Interesting, in that same town, they started to hand out flyers. On the one side of the street, nobody received the flyers. On the other side of this street, people received the flyers. And people who refused it on this side, crossing over, would receive it on the other side. Again, showing the difference between the ruling powers and principalities of one nation versus the other, split by a single church. Finally, you can go back to the transformation videos. And just one example there is that of the town of Almolonga in Guatemala. And what God did there, once the people, the Christians in that town, identified that ruling spirit, it was an image that looked sort of like a mini Michael Jackson with the black hat and sunglasses and everything. And they focused their prayers on that thing and breaking its power in the name of Jesus. Eventually, until the main witch controlling, or that was controlled by that spirit, was literally sort of forced out of town, and that thing's power was broken down. Today you will go to Guatemala and you will see that all the prisons have closed down. The police don't have job to do anymore. They're singing choirs from church to church. And all the pubs and drinking places have now been turned into churches. It's a wonderful testimony, and I would encourage you to watch that. As an exercise after this session, I would like you to form groups of five and discuss amongst yourselves. What do you think are the prevailing spirits or the strongholds in your area? Where do you think are they located? And then perhaps you can do a little bit of research, and then next week come together again and pray against those powers more effectively. May God bless you as you go for Jesus. Amen.